Good to see you today, and it's a joy to have the opportunity to speak. As John said, I'm going to be speaking in English, which is always a little bit easier for me, even after all these years. But I'd like to begin by just praying again, if that's okay. Lord, thank you for your goodness toward us. Thank you for the chance to come together as your people and fellowship and worship and to build up one another in our faith in you and to fellowship with one another. We just pray that you'll continue to be a part of this gathering and that you would speak to each and every one of us. I pray today that your encouragement would go forth, that your joy, that you would strengthen faith, that you would give grace. Let each one of us leave this place today with a stronger sense of joy in following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to tell a little story from when I was working, believe it or not, as a carpenter's helper. Some of you have worked as carpenters. Our senior pastor, Andreas, has worked as a carpenter. Has anybody else worked in carpentry, carpenter helper or something? Besides Jesus, he's here. He's got his hand up. Some of you others have. Okay, yeah. Well, I worked, my first job, really, when I was 19, was as a carpenter's helper. And that's not someone who knows what he's doing. It's someone who works for someone who knows what they're doing. You understand? So I didn't really know too much about it, but I was working with a carpenter named Bill. And Bill was kind of special because he had a cleft palate. You know what that is, a cleft palate in Swedish? Can't remember what it's called, harmynt or something like that? Yeah, that. And I really loved this guy. He was probably 45-ish, maybe a little older. And we had a great friendship, great relationship. But I worked with Bill for one or two summers. And we were building a house for my father, actually. And this house was made with logs. The logs were the framework of the house. Now, if you've been working on a building project or even understand a little bit about building, you know that the framework is very important, and that's what everything else is built upon. But the framework of this house was built out of logs. It was extremely hard to get everything straight and, you know, right, upwards and horizontally. We worked like crazy, and we had so much fun. We were using chainsaws to, you know, to change the shape of the logs. And Bill, he had, like I said, he had a cleft palate. So when he spoke, I'm not really making fun of Bill because we would laugh together. I know a cleft palate is a difficult thing. But he would speak, he had almost no consonants when he spoke. So he would say, "You mean the hammer? You know, can you give me a nail?" And I could understand him, but the other people around couldn't because we worked so close together. I understood Bill very well. And so we had so much fun and would laugh. And we would go to the cafe together to have lunch, and he would try to order, and nobody could understand him. So I would have to help Bill order, you know, often. But it was really a joy. Understanding Bill was very important because I didn't know what I was doing. I had to understand Bill, and we worked together very, very closely, and at the end of the month, when we got the check for our work, then we all rejoiced together. I want to use that a little bit as an illustration that God wants to be like Bill in your life without the cleft palate, but he wants you to realize that you're called to work together with him as a co-laborer, a co-worker. The word co-worker is used 10 times in the New Testament. And co-worker is normally describing, just like we would, someone who you work with at a workplace. If you have a person working beside you in a restaurant, that's your co-worker. Or as a nurse, you have co-workers. In business, you have co-workers. Two times during, it's mentioned in the New Testament, it's speaking directly of co-working with God himself. We are co-workers with one another in lots of ways, but two times it speaks of being co-workers with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says, "We are God's co-workers." Another word for that is co-laborers. We are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, Paul says, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Now, I want to talk to you about co-working with God. Did you know we co-work with the Lord in building his house? The New Testament is full of illustrations that the church is like the house of God, and you know, in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians, it talks about how that God's church is like a building, and he's building that. Even here, when Paul speaks, he's speaking of the church as a building. But there's another house that you're called to build. And that is what? That is your house. So when we talk about building the church, we're talking about God's building. We speak much about mission and worshiping together, the things we do together as a church. But today I want to turn the spotlight toward your house. God wants to be a co-worker with you, not just in building his house, but also in building your house. And that's also a huge biblical theme. This is not new. But we're not only called to build together his church, which we are called to do, and that's the focus of much of what we do in church, is learning to build together in mission and in community and in worship, the things we do. But God wants you to learn to work together with him in building your house. Now, what do I mean by your house? Your job is part of your house. Your house is part of your house, your apartment, your student room, your car is part of your house. Are you with me? Your relationships with your family, with your wife, if you have a wife, or your husband, or boyfriend, or friends, your relationships are part of your house. Your bank accounts are part of your house. Your life in general, your children, if you have children, are part of your house. And I just want to start today by saying God loves you and wants you to learn to collaborate with him, to be a co-worker with him in building your house. I want to see a few people nod. That is a life lesson. Church is not only about building his house, it's also about building your house. And as God and you learn to build together and your house becomes strong, your house becomes healthy, your house becomes a place of light and love, then that contributes to the building of his house in a beautiful way. Collectively, we are his house with all of our little houses. That's a little philosophical, but he is concerned about your house. Your health is part of your house. What you eat, how you take care of yourself, how you feel is part of your house. So we're going to look at what it means to collaborate with God in building your house. And basically, it's just a simple teaching on learning to follow Jesus a little better. That's basically. The first thing we need to do is, I believe, learn obedience. Now, Bill, my carpenter friend, he knew what he was doing, but I had to obey Bill. Now, I didn't know what I was doing exactly, but if Bill said, go get that log, then I had to go get it. Actually, I had this strap. Well, I don't know if I can tell you all these stupid stories, but those logs were heavy. I mean, really, really heavy. So a lot of my training as a young person came from lifting those stupid logs. But we would put these straps around these logs and move them to the right place and put them down. But I had to listen to the master builder so that the house would be built right. And it's the same thing in our lives. We have to first of all learn to listen to the master builder. And there's a couple of things about building. First of all, I want to read a verse about obedience. If we listen to the master builder, then something happens that the Bible calls blessing. Now, we don't talk a lot about blessing. We use the words a lot. Almost every Sunday, we speak the priestly blessing over the church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his face shine upon you, give you peace, and so forth. But blessing is the result or the fruit of collaborating with God. It's never something that's just separate from that. In the Bible, you read of blessing always in connection with learning to collaborate with God in your life. And I'm going to give you some examples here. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 6, it says, if you faithfully obey the voice of the master builder, the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you above the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you. And then he lists some things that belong to your house. He says, you will be blessed in the city. You will be blessed in the field. Now that has to do with your work. Most of the people of this particular audience were agriculturally employed. They worked with farms. You'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed shall be the fruit of your womb. That's your children. They will be blessed. The fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle. The increase of your herds and the young of your flock. It's all about your work and your work life. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. That's your kitchen. The very heart of the home will be blessed. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Isn't that beautiful? If, what? If we learn to obey the master builder. It's connected to learning obedience. And that's something that I want us to see today and pray for, that God would help us to understand what the boss is saying and to obey him. There is a couple of things that I learned about building. We did a project about 7 years ago, and most of you, many of you know this, but my wife and I have a place in Texas. My grandfather left me a piece of property, and we built a place, a house on that property. Well, when we built that house, there's two things you have to look at especially. One of them is called the building codes. Does anybody know what that is? Okay, building codes. The city or the government writes a list of things that you have to do when you build a house. And some of those codes are very, very detailed. Some of them are very, very general. But if you want to get insurance for your house, if it's going to stand, if it's going to be a good house, you need to follow these basic codes. It's called building codes. What's that in Swedish? Yeah, that. Byggnads någonting thing. Reglering out. It sounds so complicated. It's actually very, very simple. It's just a list of things you have to remember. But then there's another piece of paper or papers that's called the blueprint or the ritning. Those are two totally different things. And I want to give you an illustration today that the Word of God is like building codes. In other words, the Word of God tells you that there are certain things God has created you to be and to do, the way to live in your kitchen, in your relationships, in your finances, in your house, in your work. There are building codes in the Scriptures. In other words, in your finances, God tells us to be honest, to have integrity. He tells us to give and not only to receive. Those are building codes. You with me? In our relationships with others, God tells us to be careful with what we say so that we're not offending others, and that we're be careful with the way we relate to other people. Learn how to forgive. That is a building code for your life. If we learn to live our lives according to the master builder's codes in his word, then our house will be strong. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, if a man listens to these words. Now, this is the summary of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the most famous collection of Jesus' teachings in the Bible. The very end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus summarizes it all. He talks about prayer. He talks about giving. He talks about lots of different things in life, relationships. He talks about our sexuality. He talks about all aspects of life. And at the end, he says, if you do these things, then you'll be like a man who built his house on a rock. And when the storms come and the winds blow, that house will stand firm. Do you remember the story? Many of you do. But the ones who do not listen to his will and build their house with no regard for the will of God will be like a person building their house upon the sand. And when the winds come and when the storms hit, the house will fall and it will be a catastrophe. That's in Matthew chapter 7. He's talking about your house there, not his church. He's talking about your house, your life, and how that God wants you to build according to his building code. If we do, we will enjoy blessing, we'll enjoy protection and stability to within the limits of this fallen world, so to speak. It will be good. So I want us to look at that, how to understand God's building codes, his commandments, and then the blueprint, if I can use that illustration, can't be found in the scriptures. You can't find your blueprint. The building codes are there, but where you're going to work, it doesn't tell you in the Bible where to work. It doesn't tell you in the Bible what apartment to buy. It doesn't tell you in the Bible which bank to use for your bank accounts, does it? I mean, that's ridiculous what I'm saying. But that's the blueprint for your life. There's huge freedom for you to live your life and make choices all the time. But those choices are to be made according to God's will, his commandments, his building codes. But you have a beautiful freedom to build a blue house or a red house, a green house, a house on the hill, a house on the side of the hill. You follow me? That your life is something that you have great freedom to choose in many different ways, in your relationships, in your work, in your home, and so forth, in your physical health as well. But God wants you to understand that his will in his word is something we need to learn. Now, we all the time as pastors and preachers talk about two things. We talk about learning to pray and learning to read the scriptures, right? Almost every Sunday. Are you with me? Almost every Sunday it comes up. Why? Well, because it is a key to working with the master builder. The key to working with the master builder. We need to learn his codes. Make it a habit in your life to read his word. Some way, somehow. Whatever you do, however you do it, make a habit to read his word. There are Bible applications for your phones. There are iPad applications. There are Bibles right out there in the hallway today, brand new ones that Sven has with him. Find a way to simply read and simply listen to what is in the word, and you begin to learn the Lord's building codes. And as he shows you things, you might have to go back and make some changes in your life as he shows you some of those things. When it comes to the blueprint, you won't find it there. That is found in walking with the invisible Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to be involved in your choices as well, in the individual choices that you make in your life, in your finances, your job, your home, your health, your relationships, and so forth. And then the second thing about communication, talking with Bill was extremely important for me. I had to know what he wanted. I had to know what he was saying on the other side. If he was 50 meters away and he was trying to yell something to me, I had to learn to know his voice. The only reason I could understand Bill is because I had spent hours and hours and hours with him trying to know, how do you say this? And okay, that's what you mean. It's a little bit like our relationship with God. As we get to know him better, as we spend time with him, it's easier for us to recognize what he says when you're on the job and you have a question and you're not sure what to do and you pray and you ask God, Lord, help me with this. Then as you get to know him better, you can recognize his answer. We sometimes think the Lord doesn't answer us, but oftentimes we just don't know him well enough to understand what the Lord's speaking to us, trying to show us. So I want to encourage you to create a place in your life for the word of God regularly and a place in your life for prayer so that you can get to know the Lord better. Let him be involved as the master builder in every aspect of your house. I think the work life is one of those places that we sometimes forget the most to let Jesus be involved. I think especially people in Sweden have the idea that Christianity or our walk with God is something to do with our private life and not our work life. We pray when we're at home and we maybe pray for the meal and we come to church on the weekends. We go to a home group in the evenings. But did you know the Lord wants to be involved in your work life? Most of your week is spent at work. That's where most of it is. Learning to involve him. learning to pray, there's a beautiful, tiny little illustration in the Old Testament, in the book of Esther, when Mordecai was standing before the king, and it was a very sensitive question. It was a sensitive question, it was a political question, and his life could even be endangered, depending upon what he answered. But he was standing before the king, and the Bible says that Mordecai prayed in his heart to the Lord as he was standing before the king. He didn't say anything out loud. He didn't go and bow down beside his desk. He didn't, you know, pray so that other people could see him. But in his heart, quietly, privately, between him and God, he said, "Lord, give me favor now with this man. Give me wisdom to know what to speak." And I want to challenge you that, you know, you can do that in your workplace. You can let God be involved with your conversations with people in sales, in management, in IT work. There's beautiful illustrations of how God even helps people working with computer systems, because he knows mathematics and systems better than any of us. He can help us in the hospital with patients and diagnosis. But we need to learn to let God speak to us and learn to involve him in our workplace. God wants to help you build your house if you learn to collaborate with him. Learn to listen to his response. Then another thing I want to share, I'm going to share basically just some principles of collaboration. The first one was his word, learning what the difference is between the codes and the blueprint. The second one is learning to talk with him and understand what he's saying and involve him in all of the life, your daily life. The third one I want to speak about is faith. Being awake to the invisible world around you. There is an invisible reality around us. The whole Bible is built upon that fact, that God is with you even though you can't see him. There is a spiritual struggle going on. When the winds blow and the storm hits your house, then sometimes it's mixed with spiritual struggle, not just natural struggle. Storms will hit, by the way. Winds will blow. Are there winds blowing in anybody's life right now in here? Come on, be a little bit honest, just a little bit, yeah. Or some winds are blowing. What I mean is that there are things that are difficult in your life, maybe in your finances, maybe in your relationships, maybe in your physical health, maybe with your children, maybe with your husband or wife and your relationship, even your home. Maybe you're looking for a place to live, or you need to change lodging or housing. The winds blow, and sometimes storms hit. But the Lord is with you, and he wants you to be awake to this invisible reality. First of all, that he is with you. I love this verse, Lamentations 3, 22 through 25. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." This last couple of years, there's been two really important life lessons to me. This is one of them. Learning what the steadfast love of the Lord is. When the winds blow, when the storm hits, and your house feels like it's shaking. This week, actually, there was a storm here in Sweden. I think it was two nights ago. Not last night, but the night before last. Did any of you feel the wind or hear the wind in your house? Some of you did. We live in a house that has these metal, well, most houses do, but these metal skirts, they're called, right by the roof, and that keep the water from running into the edges of the roof. And those skirts were just going boom, 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 boom in the night. The house was almost shaking, you know. But it's a good house, so it stood. We're still there. But it's like that in our lives sometimes. It's like that. But the Lord's steadfast love carries us through the storms. And we need to rest and trust in his steadfast love. That's been a life lesson to me this last couple of years. Another lesson that has to do with faith is learning to wait on the Lord. How many of you really like to wait on things? Waiting in line. You really love to wait in line? Personally, I do not like to wait on anything or anybody. But life is full of waiting. It's actually part of working together with God. Because I've noticed that the master builder, his timing is not the same as my timing and your timing. We think, okay, this needs to be fixed. So Lord, fix it, please. Give me the tools. I'll start to work on it. Let's get it fixed now. What happens? You know, a month later, it's still not fixed. Maybe he's working on something else instead. Prioritizes wrong, God. He prioritizes some other things, and we have to learn to wait on the things that we sometimes prioritize. Did you know that the word wait and the word faith are actually linked together in the scriptures? This is something you don't like to hear. The word faith in Greek, pistis, comes from the root of that word actually has to do with being bound to something or binding yourself to something, tying yourself to something, and then holding on, waiting for it. Faith is connected to the idea of being bound, it's binding. The word wait in the Old Testament, kavah, is also from the root word of being bound to something. You bind yourself to something and you hold on. I will hold on to what God said. I'm waiting for him to fulfill his promise. You with me? That's the picture of waiting. It's the picture of faith. We hold on. Trusting in God's steadfast love, learning to wait on God, learning to believe. So just in kind of getting close to the end of our teaching here, I want to play a song for you about holding on. Some of you are in a place in life right now where in your working together with God, your house is experiencing a storm, you're experiencing some winds, you're experiencing a time of waiting. You may have some difficulty with one of the areas of your house, work, relationships, finances, you're having to hold on. You're having to wait. You're having to believe. And I really love this song. I felt like the Lord used it to speak to me today. It's called Hold On, and I'm going to have them put the words up on the screen. Can we listen to that? Is that okay? And if you want to sing along, you can, but otherwise you can just listen. Go ahead and play it if you would.
I'm sorry when I walk alone.
Isn't that good? It's a picture of what faith means and what waiting on the Lord means. It means holding on. And this is a very simple message I've come with today, that God wants to work together with you in building your house. He's working with us in building our church, and I'm so, how do I say it, glad when I come to this church and I see what God's doing around this church together with those of us who are a part of it. It fills me with joy. I just love to see it. But I'm also glad when I see God's working in one individual life, and God helps you with your life and your job and with your family, with your home, with your relationship, with your finances. And that's what I want to focus on today and pray for. So my last question is, how's it going with your house? How's it going? If you were to have an inspector, the master builder, coming in today with his building code list and his, you know, his blueprints, okay, how's it going? When you look around and you inspect your life, how's it going? Where do you need to maybe make some changes? Or where do you need to ask for help? Where do we need some others to come in and help you build in an area? Maybe there's a relationship you're struggling with and you're having a hard time communicating with someone or forgiving someone. Possibly another brother or sister could even come in and help with that relationship, or at least pray for you and give you some wisdom for that. Possibly your finances. Maybe you're struggling right on the edge and you're not quite sure how to deal with a financial situation. Have some other brothers and sisters pray with you and maybe have some wisdom to help you there. Do you see what I'm saying? God cares about your house. God cares about your studies. He cares about your apartment. He cares about your car. He cares about every aspect of your life because you're his child. And your calling is your house, your first calling, your family, your children. And so I want us today to pray for one another, to pray for your house, our lives. And then I want to say something else to you that's kind of looking even further ahead. Part of your house is just temporary. Everything that I mentioned, basically the house, the apartment, the finances, even your health, it's all temporary. There's going to come a day when we will move to a new house. And Jesus, using the same illustration, he said this to his disciples. He said this in John, I believe it's chapter, what is it? So you get the actual reference. John chapter 14. He said, in my Father's house, there are lots of rooms. And I'm going to go and I'm going to make a place or prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. He's talking about the life after this life. When this body, our health, this part of our house falls down, Paul said it. He says, my earthly house is falling down. Paul said that. My earthly tent is falling down. He's talking about his body. And when we're finished using our earthly house and our earthly cars and our earthly stuff, there is another house waiting for you. We have an eternal home in the heavens. And there's a little bit of a hint in the scriptures that we're even there, we're going to continue working together with God. Collaboration is not just an earthly principle. It seems to be a kingdom principle for eternity. So if you're here and you're not sure that you're a Christian, you're not sure that Jesus is your master builder, then I want to encourage you to take the first step of obeying him. Get hired on his team. Say yes to his invitation to let him be your Lord. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's not just thinking up here. It's letting him become the Lord and the master builder of your life. That's what the word Lord means. So I want to invite you today, if you're not sure that you've taken that step to accept Christ as your master builder and your Lord, to just do that today. It's a simple step, but an extremely big and important step. So we're going to open up the place for that. So let's pray. Okay, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back in just a minute, but I want us to pray first for everybody's work situation. We're going to just take a short time and run through your house a little bit. Think of your work situation. If you're a student, your work is your studies right now. You have some dreams for a particular kind of job in the future. Maybe you're without work right now and you need work. But I want us to pray a general prayer for the work situation and then possibly a more specific one. Lord, I pray for everyone's work situation. I pray for your blessing on those who run their own businesses. I pray for your blessing on those who are working for others' businesses. For those who are working in service jobs as a nurse or as a teacher or in some other kind of service, I ask for your blessing upon their work and their relationships at work, your blessing and grace upon their relationship with their supervisors and those that they serve. I pray you'll help them to have attitudes at work that reflect your love and your attitudes. I pray you will give them wisdom and insight in their work so that they will be able to do a good job. Pray for that in Jesus' name. And this is a real important one. There's a great theological root to what I'm about to say, but God wants you to find enjoyment in your work. We don't have time to talk about that, but it's part of your creation purpose, the first book of Moses. There is an enjoyment in work that's intended for man and woman to experience. So I pray for that enjoyment, that everyone in this room would find the joy, the satisfaction in what they're doing, that part of that work, that they would enjoy that and give themselves to that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And now I just want to pray for those who are having some kind of a struggle that's involved with work. Maybe it's you're looking for a job, or maybe in your job there might be a struggle in some way, or there might be an unanswered question that you just say, well, I'd like for you to pray for this particular thing. And let's just lift that up to the Lord. Won't you just raise your hand if you have something at your workplace that you think would be good to lift up before the Lord? I'm not going to ask you what it is. Let's just lift it up before the Lord. This is a symbol, 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it's 5, where it says that we are to cast our cares upon the Lord, and there's a symbol in that where you hold it up before him. So Lord, you see these situations, you see these possibly people that it involves, maybe struggles, maybe there's some uncertainty, but I pray in Jesus' name for your grace, for you as the master builder to go to work with each one of these that has their hand up on Monday morning, and that you would help them in this situation. Give them insight, give them wisdom, give them direction. I pray for your blessing over each one of these, especially. There's a hand in the air right now. Let the Lord bless and lead and be with you tomorrow morning when you get to the workplace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let us hear about what he's done too. Maybe next week when we come back together. Thank you, Father. I want to pray also, if we can, for finances, if we can take some time for that. How many of you would just say, I'd like just to hold up my finances before the Lord? Maybe we don't even have to say what it is, but I need the Lord's help, maybe the Lord's blessing, the Lord's guidance in some financial question, financial issue. Anybody besides me got their hand up? Okay. Mine's up, actually. Okay, let's pray for that. Lord, we know that you're our source and our provider of all things. Help us to do what we need to do, Lord, to build this area of our life right, to work, to do the things we need to do. Help us to manage our finances well. And Father, you see those that have needs financially where there's really, they need help. Maybe something needs to be renovated in that area. So I just pray in Jesus' name for blessing upon each of those with their hand up right now, that you will see to the financial needs. The Lord says in Philippians chapter 4 that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So take that as a word from God. It is prophetic. It is biblical. He will supply all your needs. Thank you, Father. We give everything we have to you because it all comes from you anyway. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You know, we could take the time to pray through each of these areas, different corners of our house, our building, but I'd like for us just to kind of open up the prayer area over here. And if you want prayer for some other area, relational or possibly direction, Lord's guidance, but let's pray for our house today. Pray for one another's houses that God would help us as we build. Amen? Now, I don't know if what Tina would like to play or sing, but that song that you guys did earlier that you said was from the Psalms that was really I think I kind of fits.